The question before us tonight is this. Is this great festival, as it begins, why are we here? Who used to ask that question over and over and over for years? He'd thunder it out as he stood there looking down at us. Mr. Armstrong did. And we're just a handful here. And where are we? In England? Yes, we're in England. In the Cornish capital of the world. And there's a few in Kentucky. And we know there are other groups. They do believe in keeping the holy days of God. Let's not forget that. They've not all forgotten. There's no denying that. But what concerns me personally, because I know so many of them, is that for the most part, they have forgotten or they simply deny the significance of the spiritual legacy God gave us through only one man, Mr. Armstrong. That's what they've forgotten. And so you cannot deny that reality. Why is it so easy for some to minimize and marginalize the part Mr. Armstrong played in the building of the church that Jesus Christ stood behind and blessed for so many years? Well, we're not sure of the exact answer to all of that, but I think I know. I won't get into that tonight. But since you know, brother, my question really, when you look at how difficult it is in this world right now, we're so far removed from a year ago. It's worse than it could ever possibly be. And yet it gets worse. That always amazes me. How can it get any worse? Mass shootings, mass killings, mass this, mass that, and somebody comes along and tops it. What a dreadful situation. And yet the glory that lies ahead that we know about, that they don't know, is unbelievably fantastic. So my question is this. It's not why are you here. You know why you're here. And so do I. Mr. Henderson offered me lots of money and a new car. I'm just joking with you that don't know me. I'm not being playing trivia about it at all. But we know why we're here, so my question is this. What shape is our spiritual condition in right now as this festival begins in 2017? Is it the same as last year? Is it stronger? Or is it weaker? Or have you lost valuable ground? As many within the greater churches of God have completely lost lots of ground. Now, whatever the answer you just formulated in your mind, whatever that answer is, this festival, brethren, is going to help us and it's going to inspire us to move forward strongly with great purpose. That's why we're here, to put everything into it. And our hope for the future that lies ahead. Not just for us, as Mr. Henderson mentioned in the prayer, but for all of mankind. We want that glory for them too, don't we? It's not for us. We're here to learn how to serve. We're here to learn how to teach. How often did Mr. Armstrong say that? Over and over and over, but he was so right. He was so right. You know, we've all been through so many of the church splittings and scatterings and shatterings and all of it, whatever term you want to apply to it. And many people are still very untrusting. They're very wary of different groups and very wary of ministers as well. I had one person say to me a couple of years ago, I don't trust ministers. We're sitting face to face. And I said, look, I understand. I understand how you can feel that way. But don't let everyone, you know, tar and mar your objectivity. We're not all boiled, you know, in the same pot. We're not all scarred with the same brush or tarred with the same brush, whatever it is. I understand that completely. But here's the simple solution, as Mr. Henderson and I were talking about this tonight. The simple solution is this. If we stay close to the instructions that God gave us through Mr. Armstrong, and I mean close, we can and we will survive. And we'll grow. And we'll thrive. It doesn't matter what goes on out there. Stay close to that home base and don't let it go. That's what will keep you going. That's what's going to count in the long run. We know that Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong kept the feast for 7 years. In some cases, I think it's a whole lot more than that, on their own. not knowing why they were keeping those days except that God said to do it. That's determination. That's faith. I don't know why we're keeping them, dear, and those few that might join us, but God said to do it, so we're going to do it. That's character. That's conversion. That's an outstanding example. You know, back during the early years, I was told that Mr. Armstrong kept the feast with maybe 30, 40 people at one point up in northern Oregon. And he was the only minister. He was the only minister. And therefore, he was the only speaker. Yeah. He gave every sermon twice a day for 8 days. Okay? Plus the opening night. That's 17 messages. How would you like that job, Mr. Henderson? I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't want any part of that. But that man carried forward. And what God did through him because of his steadfastness and his loyalty. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 8, 28 actually. See what God says. Something amazing here that God has done. Because by the very same method that he teaches us, he also closes the eyes of those who are in the world. And what a difference. You know, we hear the word, and so do others, but we have a completely different understanding, especially when you compare it to the religions of the world. Because their minds are open to certain things and closed to many other things. God wants us to clearly understand his word and to build on it. And to grow as a result of it. Because you can't get away from the basic things in Christianity. Mr. Armstrong always talked about the basics. Wasn't difficult to understand. Wasn't hard to follow his reasoning. He just stayed right to the trunk of the tree, and that's what he taught for all those years. That's how we learned. He wants us to build up, you know, brethren. And what we are going to do, what our jobs are going to be in the world tomorrow, that's what he wants us to consider and think about as we're sitting here tonight preparing to embark on the 8 days of the feast. Let's see here. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 5. Better put my glasses on or I'll be in the wrong book. 28, verse 5. In that day the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people. And we are the remnant of the church. Wherever the church of God is scattered today, you can say for sure, you know that you are part of the remnant. There is no doubt in my mind about that. I'm a part of the true church of God. Scattered, yeah, a little group here, a little group there. We're all together under that umbrella. Verse 6, for a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and for strength to those who turn back the battle. For a spirit of judgment. Makes me think one of the reasons why we're here to learn how to teach. We need to learn judgment. How to adjudicate properly. How to weigh things up. How to balance it out. How to discern. Not to jump into things emotionally. What are the facts? What are the realities? God wants us to learn that. We can be learning it now in our lives in so many different ways, brethren. So many different ways. We need to learn judgment and truth and understanding. We need those spiritual attributes in the family of God. We're going to need all that and more. Because our battle is spiritual. We're not fighting each other. Sometimes we fight with the guy next to us in the car on the freeway. More or less, figuratively speaking. Ours is a spiritual battle. The toughest battle of all is the spiritual battle. And you know, it's very important that we come together for the Holy Days, including this great feast. So important that we're here together. So we are strengthened with God's word. And we learn. And just possibly, we may have to relearn what we were taught. Because people can forget. Sometimes people let things get in the way. We have to relearn. Prepare ourselves as we travel down the road into the future. Verse 7. But they have also have erred through wine and through intoxicating drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. This applies to those who were in the church of God. What is the wine and strong drink? That's the wine of fornication that our mother Babylon brought, as we read in Revelation 17, that we're not going to turn there. So by putting the words of God here and some there, the world distorts and twists and tries to make sense out of what's so plain, trying to work things out for themselves. And you know, it is becoming more and more difficult for people to really understand what the truth is anymore. Where do you find it? What's that saying you hear now all the time on the news? Fake news. What's real? How do I know that's for sure? Oh, I'll look it up on the internet. They'll know. No, they won't. The world is engulfed in mass confusion with just about everything. Everything. Mass chaos. And here's another reason why it's like that. And here's the main reason why it's like that. That confuses so many people within the churches of God as well. And it should not, if they go back to their roots. Because the further and further you get away from the solid spiritual foundation that God gave us through Mr. Armstrong, when you move away from that, the more confused people become. I've seen it. We've had close friends got caught up in all kinds of nonsense. Now they're just drifting out there. Not sure anymore. Everything gets questioned. The foundational truth should never be questioned by a converted Christian man or woman. We know that. We've been grounded in it. When the church fell apart, what was the first thing my wife and I did? Went to our scriptures and said, da-da-da-da-da, God hasn't changed. This hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. He's changed. Bye-bye. That's what we did. It's the only way you can deal with it. And some writers changed the words of both the Old and New Testament, making fiction out of them. So, and as a result of that, what do you have? Notice verse 8. For all the tables are full of vomit and filth. No place is clean. Very strong words. Very strong words. In this environment, notice verse 9. And whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breast? See, brethren, doctrine is extremely important. To be grounded in it, to know it, to understand it. The knowledge of the truth. We have the doctrines of Christ. We have the teachings of Christ. All through one man's faithfulness. Only one. That is what makes this feast so very important. Because it brings us to the truth. And the depth and the knowledge and the understanding about our future and the great responsibilities we have now, right now. We can listen. Yes, we should be taught, learn, grow, change, get excited, looking forward to the future. We also have a big part to play in it, internally, personally. You see, you have to personalize everything you hear. Wait a minute, how's that affecting me, you know? Right? You have to do that. In fact, I prepared two messages for later on in the feast. One that deals with the future, and one with deals for the purpose for our lives right now as we prepare for the kingdom of God. And you will see, I hope, they are of equal importance that we understand both. Because if you want to be there, and if I want to be there, I've got to qualify. Jesus Christ had to qualify. He knew it wasn't going to be easy. Was it easy for him? We've had a rocky roller coaster ride in our Christian lives in the last, 45 years, finally? Oh, it's been smooth, man. It's been smooth. It's been smooth. Nothing could be more untrue. We're still here. Not because of us. No, I'm nothing. You that know me, I don't have any graces and airs about me. I'm nothing. God is everything. My whole purpose is in to live and to do and to survive and to move forward is because of God. A person has to reach a certain point of understanding with regard to God's word. Strong meat belongs to those who have had their senses exercised to discern good and evil. We've had lots of teaching. We should know that completely and absolutely. I'm not saying you don't. But some people forget. And they get sidetracked. And here's some new crazy thing out there. Mr. Henderson's referred to it quite often when he's been speaking. Different crazy ideas. What's it got to do with the basics? The basic foundational things? Nothing. Let the word of God speak to us and to them. We're going to have to let the word of God speak to those that come through the tribulation. God's word is going to speak to them. And we're going to teach them the word of God. We're going to bring them to God. We're going to show them who God is. We're going to teach them about God. Right now they don't know. The greater churches in this society don't have a clue who God is. What's the plan? What's the purpose of mankind? Verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. You see, in one place you see something what's going on when the scripture was written. In another place it is projecting to the kingdom of God. In another place it could be projecting toward the life of Jesus Christ. That's why it's precept upon precept and line upon line. It's not a straight line. Mr. Armstrong said it's a jigsaw puzzle. You have to put it together with the power of God's Spirit. And stay tied to the foundation, to the basics. If I'm repeating that too many times, I'm sorry. But it's true. That's how we can put the pieces together to understand. Verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people, to whom he says, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. So many do not hear, will not hear, refuse to hear. We understand what the world does not. So it becomes the same method that God opens our minds to understand the truth, and the very same method that he closes the eyes of others because they're unwilling to do what God says. They won't obey him. We're going to go keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, really? That's Jewish. Leviticus 23 doesn't say that, does it? I can remember years ago, first came in the church, and there's a woman, Jewish woman and her husband, and they found out, I don't know how they found out, that I wasn't eating unclean foods. And so she said to me, John, you've got it all wrong. We can eat pigs and oysters and all that stuff now because they've invented refrigerators. Back in the day, they didn't have refrigerators. Don't you get that? Thank you, Gwen. I appreciate the enlightenment. I can still see her. Back in Matthew 13, I'll read it for you quickly. Christ's words confirm what I just said there. Matthew 13 and verse 14. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and not understand. This is Jesus Christ. And seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their ears and hear with their see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. Many people within the churches of God that I know of have forgotten that. They're not hearing anymore. They're not seeing clearly because they've gotten away from the foundation. We don't ever have to worry about straying or getting pulled away by anybody. If we stay true to what God gave Mr. Armstrong, right, Mr. Henderson? That's it. It is so easy, and it's so wonderful, and it's so encouraging, and it's so inspiring. We have to learn to fear God and to love him. Love him at the same time and fear him, huh? How's that work? Well, because the true love of God will give you understanding and the awe of the greatness of God, so there will be the right kind of fear. Not torment, but the fear of awe and wonder and worship of God. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're going to be learning here at this festival. We are going to inherit the rulership of the world with Jesus Christ leading the way. We, true Christians, if we stay tuned, if we stay fixed on with the right focus, if we stand on that spiritual foundation, if we change, if we grow, if we overcome. And that leads us right to this festival, doesn't it? That's why we're here. We know the ways of God. They're sure and they're true. And we are to grow in grace and knowledge, grow in grace and understanding, grow in love, and in the love of God, which is so all-encompassing. As we've said in the past, what we understand about the Sabbath day is to keep it. That's how I learned about the Sabbath day. I realized I needed to keep it. That's through God's Spirit, give me that understanding. You learn about it by keeping it. What we understand about the holy days is to keep them. And every year we learn more. I read that verse 1,000 times. I never saw that. That's because the mind is growing. It's expanding. God's inspiring us, giving us more of His ability to discern and to understand. Beautiful. That's how it's supposed to work. And the way we understand the Feast of Tabernacles is to keep it. That's why we're here. Because in keeping the commandments of God, then we have understanding and we have the blessings of God. And we all want the blessings of God, don't we? I just want the good stuff, Father. Lay the other stuff on somebody else. It doesn't work like that. We've been through too much to know better. Psalm 112. Oh, how fortunate we are, brethren, to know what we know, to understand what we understand, to be able to understand the plan of God. Try and tell that to your friend who goes to the Catholic Church about the great plan of God. What? Who? He has a plan? You know? No, don't try to tell him, okay? It won't work. Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. Verse 2. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. A tremendous blessing here. This is the truth of God that applies at all times to all people that are willing to do this, to fear God and keep His commandments. But only a few will do it. Only a very few really want to do it. Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun, it's going down. The Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who dwells on high? Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in earth? He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with the princes of his people. That, brethren, is our destiny. We have been picked up out of the dust heap of humanity. Lest we get carried away with our own importance, because we don't have any. I have zero. None. The truth is, whether we live or die, we live or die to the Lord. We are His. God the Father called us. He gave us to Christ. Christ, here they are. Get them cleaned up. Get them ready. Yes, sir. He took on the task. And it's not an easy task, is it? Where are the thousands that were observing these holy days years ago? 120,000, the Feast of Tabernacles in various places, or all around the world, I guess a total combination. Mount Pocono, 12,000. You hear the chorus singing, it was inspiring, beautiful. Where are they now? Just a few. You see, brethren, that's how we learn and we grow. During this festival, we're going to learn. We're going to grow. We're going to learn and we're going to rehearse the plan of God. We're going to rule and reign. We're going to be taught by Jesus Christ how to do it. We'll be given the power. We'll be given the tools. We'll be told what people need. We'll be told how we're going to help them. How we can help them grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. I can hardly wait to do that. Put your arm around them. Hey, I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to show you how to be smiling and happy and joyous and look forward to a wonderful life and forget the past. And here's why. There's a God. Can you imagine yourself doing that? I hope so. I do. That is all part of the great feast, brother. And what we are to learn. We are to learn things old and learn things new as we go through line upon line, precept upon precept about what's going to happen and what our part is going to be and what God expects of us. We're going to develop greater insight. We're going to develop greater insight if we listen. We're also going to be given greater understanding of the Word of God. I want greater understanding. I pray for wisdom, understanding, discernment, all the things I need to do the job. Sadly lacking in all those areas, but wanting it. As much as I hope you do. We're going to learn what God wants us to do. What He's preparing us for. What's our job going to be? How's He going to bring this all about? How is it possible? With the masses of humanity. With the mess that's out there. He can do it. He's going to do it. Because He can do it. And because He wants to do it. He's going to solve all the world's problems. He's going to bless the world, solve all the problems of the world and humanity eventually. That'll happen. Isn't that something? Have them sit down by the hundreds or the 500s and say, God, the God that we serve, we're going to teach you about, is going to solve all your problems. He's going to solve all the problems of humanity. How about a few doubting Thomases? Oh, yeah, sure he is. We're going to be there to help them understand that. There will not be any doubting Thomases going into the family of God, I can assure you. Everything that is done is going to be there to help and serve the brethren. So we will all grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. I think it's important to understand that as we gather here together. Because at this feast, brethren, we're going to grow together. We're going to understand together. We're going to understand the Word of God together. And I believe there's a blessing in that, if we think about it. Jesus said, it is sufficient that the disciples be as the teacher. We will teach what Christ taught and Christ first taught Mr. Armstrong. What a joy it's going to be. You ever stop and think about that in some of your quiet moments? Maybe you're sitting down some night with a glass of wine, relaxing. Maybe you're in the bathtub just musing about the day or the week. Sabbath day comes. Time to think, unwind, loosen up. Get the cares go. What a joy it will be to teach, to educate, to prepare people to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. Think about that. I want to do that. Don't you want to do that? Because there's such a need out there. Such a crying out for help. During this feast, we are all together. Just a few of us. But I say all. All of us together. We're going to fellowship with God. Fellowship with our great Father in heaven. We're going to fellowship with Jesus Christ. And we're going to fellowship with each other. That way we'll grow together in knowledge and understanding and power, spiritual power. And we'll feed off each other that way. As I've said, there's not one person in this room who can't teach me something and who has not taught me something. Young people can teach us. I've had many young people teach me many things. That's a humility we all have to have. We can learn from each other. Mr. Henderson and I are not so great that we can't sit back and say, well, I'm not going to let those people teach me. Oh, no. Every one of you can teach me many things and have patience, love, understanding, diligence, faithfulness. Yeah, you. So during the feast, brethren, we need to be renewed day by day. Day by day. Christ set us the example, didn't he? He was filled with the Spirit of God and the love of God, and he set an incredible example for us. The Bible talks about keeping every word of God, which includes the Old Testament. We are here to let Christ magnify the love of God in our hearts and minds. Every action and every thought should be in accordance with the will of God. Everyone. We are God's brethren. We belong to him. That's when you have to personalize it. Wait a minute. I belong to God? Me? I'm nobody. That's right. Neither am I. But I still belong. Brethren, we're going to help them understand things that they have no idea of. No idea of things that even existed in their hearts and minds until we come along to help them out. That's what we're going to be doing. It's awesome to think about. I've got some great scriptures I want to go through when I speak the next time. Going through, but what Christ is going to do. What God is laying out. The plan, the purpose, how he's going to do it. And yet he reaches back with love. I yearn for you, one scripture I'll go through. It's exciting. That's emotion. You yearn for something. You yearn for somebody. I've been away from my wife for 3 or 4 weeks a month. I yearn to see her again. And hopefully vice versa. That's emotions. Our God shows his emotions. You just have to look for it sometimes. You have to understand that it's there. And personalize it. He's speaking to me. We're going to help them understand how they can grow in grace and knowledge. How they can become the kind of people that they want to become. We're going to help them learn about God, brethren. And we're going to help them to know God. That's an awesome responsibility. Awesome responsibility. And that's why, how often do you hear us talk about and saying, get yourself ready? How often do we repeat that? Often. Often, because it's crucial and it's critical. We're living in very dangerous times. There isn't years and years to come. I recall one man saying there was supposed to be maybe by 2025, you know, maybe some things will unfold and this might happen and that might happen. What goes through the mind of the average person when they hear that? Oh, man, take it easy. Time to go on vacation. Where's the sense of urgency? Mr. Armstrong always had a sense of urgency. And it rubbed off. And it should. I say to Eileen that we've been living on the edge of the kingdom of God and of Christ's plan for 46 years now. 45 years. Hasn't come yet. Hasn't been fulfilled yet. Hasn't happened yet. Doesn't matter. It's going to happen. We're 1 year closer. I believe it more strongly than ever. That's how we have to look at it. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. You know, brethren, this feast has great meaning for us. It has to do with our future and our spiritual well-being and our entrance into the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Knowing this, that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace may spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Everything that is done to help the brethren so they can grow and change and get to know the eternal God for the first time. Something new. I know God. No, you don't. This is the great God that we serve. This is the great God that brought you through that trauma. This is the great God that's going to show you a future. That's going to be a shocker for a lot of people. That's okay. We're going to do it with love. We're going to put our arms around them. We're going to help you. That's exciting. It really is. To think that God will entrust that kind of power, that responsibility, with us. You'll say, I can't do it. I don't have what it takes. Yes, you do. Eventually, you will. And as you grow and learn now, God will add more to your confidence, more to your understanding. Yes, you can teach. It's exciting. You've got to get your mind into it and personalize it. God has blessed us, brethren, with great understanding, and he has brought us here in peace and safety. And he will continue to do so as we submit to him. To conclude, I have a little story I want to tell you. A little heart to heart. It has to do with the feast, and it has to do with the safety I mentioned earlier. I've got a friend who went to AC for some special training back a number of years ago. Then he was sent over to Italy to head up the work there in Rome, in Milan, and in Sicily. In 1988, our dear friend Elenita arrived in Rome. She knew of this man, but she never had a chance to speak to him. And I confirmed all this with him and with her before I'm going to mention it. And back during that time, there was a World Tomorrow program on television with Mr. Armstrong's message, dubbed in Italian. There was 100,000 some odd PTs going into the area. People were unhappy because they're right in the, at Satan's front door. Okay? And in 1988, at the feast site that she missed, my friend was walking down the hallway and he saw a box on the floor. And he just thought, someone left a cardboard box because all the people were coming in the other entrance. So he bypassed and didn't bother with it. But a man who's in the church was a Secret Service agent. And I guess being a policeman, you tend to go back to your roots. And maybe you're a little suspicious, not certain about things. Don't take everything for granted. He walked up to the box and, sis, opened it up. It was a bomb. It's a bomb. Set to go off 15 minutes after the service began. It would have caused carnage. In 1989, same feast site, just outside Florence, Elenita attended. Same thing happened. They swept the room beforehand, knowing what happened before. This time they found more explosives. It was hidden better in knapsacks, and you couldn't detect it openly easily. They were bound and determined because this rogue religious order that fell down before the Pope had said that they will not allow foreign religions to invade their country anymore. That's playing hardball. But, like I said, our God protects us. He was there. And we have Elenita with us here. It's exciting stuff, brethren. It really is. Our God loves us. You and me. All of us. What a plan. We can be a part of it. Let's enjoy the feast.